This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. 30 years ago, Muhammad Yunus made a loan of $27 to some villagers in his native Bangladesh and changed the world. In the 3 decades since, Yunus issued tiny amounts of credit, microloans he calls them, to more than 16 million people, most of them women, and all of them too poor to qualify for traditional bank loans. As founder of the Grameen Bank of Bangladesh, the economist turned conventional banking and conventional capitalism on its head. And his goal is nothing less than the elimination of poverty worldwide. For his 30 years of work, Muhammad Yunus and the Grameen Bank will receive this year's Nobel Peace Prize next month in Oslo, Norway. Muhammad Yunus joins us in just a moment. Later, Garrison Keillor remembers film director Robert Altman, and Leroy Sievers returns to talk about life 1 year after his cancer resurfaced and about what he's thankful for this year. But first, Muhammad Yunus and the Grameen Bank. If you'd had experience with microcredit, what was it like? And is the idea practical in this country? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Muhammad Yunus joins us now from Chicago. Welcome and congratulations on the Nobel Prize.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
I wonder, there's no short list for the Nobel Peace Prize. How did you find out you'd won it?
Well, I got a call from Norwegian television station saying that today the prize will be announced. Are you waiting for any news? I said, no, I'm just carrying on my daily work.
Mm-hmm.
Said, no, we are hearing that you are one of the top contenders, so maybe you should get ready.
And did you get ready? I mean, is that something you can possibly prepare for, the Nobel Peace Prize?
No, he said, keep the line open. If your name comes up, you'll hear the announcement very soon. If your name comes up, we'll be the first one to interview you. I said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll do that.
Well, when you heard, it must have been...
It's amazing. I have no idea because I was not ready for that announcement. I thought this year is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People have been talking about it for many, many years, 15, 16 years now, that you're going to get a Nobel Prize. So I said, anytime happens, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to wait for it. I carry on my daily things. So this is the year where I was doing the routine things and I was not expecting anything, but suddenly it came and the whole nation suddenly stand on their feet. Everybody was so excited and people started flooding into my house and my compound, my office space, everywhere. Hundreds and thousands of people kept coming. I said, my God, this is really something. And cameras all around and all the flashes going out and all the TV cameras coming from all around the world. This is an amazing experience.
Yet at the core of it, there must be some wonderful feeling of vindication that this thing that you started 30 years ago and more, that this thing was right.
Oh, indeed, because Nobel Peace Prize kind of makes a lot of things very clear for us and lot of endorsement for our work. Like it clearly says poverty is a threat to peace. Anybody who is working for getting poverty eliminated in the world is working for peace.
Mm-hmm.
So microcredit is helping getting poor people out of poverty, and that is helping bringing us closer to peace. That message has been loud and clear through this award.
And interestingly, of course, the Nobel Peace Prize, not the Nobel Prize for Economics.
Yes, I've been hearing about this all these years. Some people saying that it's for the peace, some people saying it's for economics. And people, I'm sure, nominated me on both sides. So it's the Nobel Peace Committee which came out with their decision first.
Maybe they had a fight. Maybe they had a fight over you. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
let me ask you, this is, you're a capitalist at heart, no?
Well, I think free market is a wonderful thing, but the concepts that you're using in the free market are very restricted. Like, for example, banks. Banks don't open their door for all the people, but about two-thirds of the world population don't have access to the banking services. So this is, again, restricted. So everybody cannot participate in that free market. And the concept of business itself is restricted because business, the way we have been defining it, practicing it, is business to make money. Profit maximization is the mission of business. And I think that's very wrong. That's very restricted. Human being is much more bigger than just money. being money-making machines. Human being wants to do a lot more things besides making money. Making money is fun. Making money is excitement. And there are many exciting things in the world we can do it through business. And one business I talk about is doing good to people without expecting any return on the investment. So these are the social businesses, non-loss, non-dividend companies. I start a social business to address a social problem like helping poor people get out of poverty, bringing pure drinking water for the people who don't have drinking water, bring health care, and not for making money out of it. So if the company makes any money, it remains with the company. It doesn't come to the investor. Investor gets the investment money back, and it solves the problem of the world. And that also is a business in the free market. We'll be competing with each other among the social business and between the social business and the profit maximizing business. So you widen the area. Once we can do that, the real impact of free market will come out.
Here's an email question we have from Webster in Honolulu. Business Week magazine reports that the usual interest on a microloan is 35%, which the magazine says is lower than rates at other lending institutions. Since the microloan delinquency rate is relatively low, the return on investment for microcredit institutions would seem to be far better than it is for conventional commercial banks in the West, raising the question of how much of the interest money goes to overhead and how much is reinvested in microloans and how much goes to other projects. Please explain.
Let me explain what the Grameen Bank does. Grameen Bank is a bank which is owned by the borrowers. We have nearly 7 million borrowers, 97% women, and our repayment rate is 99%. And our interest rate, the maximum interest that we charge is 20%. And we have housing loan, interest rate is 8%, below our deposit rate. And we give student loan for children of Grameen families who are pursuing higher education. And interest rate is 5% during the academic years. You don't pay any interest; it's interest free. But after you finish school, then you pay 5% interest on that, which is way below the deposit rate that we give. And we also give loans to the beggars. Interest rate is zero. So we have four interest rate with 20%, which is above our deposit rate. Three others, 8%, 5%, and 0%, are below our deposit rate. So that's the structure of our interest rate.
There are also, when loans, at least at the beginning, when loans were made, they were sort of made to groups of five people who were not formerly, but they sort of looked out for each other to make sure there was a social network to enforce payment.
We still follow the same principle. It's a five-member group, but it has nothing to do with banking. It's more on the social issues. We address many social issues, like there are something called 16 decisions. Those decisions relate to their lives, like we shall send our children to school, make sure they stay in school. This is one decision. Another decision, we shall grow vegetable all year round and eat plenty of it and sell the surplus. This is another decision. We shall not take any dowry. We shall not give any dowry. This is another decision. So we have series of decisions. These are the things which make it happen because we are together in it. Mm. And also it teaches, the groups teach themselves the democracy. You elect your chairperson of the group. You elect your secretary of the group, and a bigger group, which we call center, you elect a center chief, you elect a deputy center chief. As a result, today many of these women are contesting in local elections, and many of them getting elected. More than 3,000 of Grameen borrowers got elected in the local bodies because they have been trained in the system of Grameen Bank. We could have given loans to individually. We still can. Still, the performance will be as good because we don't need any collateral. We don't need any group guarantee. We don't need any joint liability. We don't have any legal instrument. So we don't need any of this. Still, it works. Mm. So the groups come for a different reason than just ensuring getting our repayment.
Okay, let's get a listener on the line. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's go to Aaron. Aaron's on the line with us from Brookline, Massachusetts.
Hello.
Hi.
I was on the staff of an international conference in 1963 where I first heard about the Rural Development Academy in Camilla,
yeah,
in what was then East Pakistan, where mm-hmm. they were also doing a microcredit system. I wondered if you had any contact with that.
Oh, yeah, we know them all because it's in Bangladesh. It's known as famous Kumilla cooperatives. The cooperatives are the cooperatives of the farmers, farmers who get together and join in a cooperative and they get loans. Loans come from government resources and so on and so forth. And our cooperatives didn't do very well. It became corrupt. It became badly managed. So it never got off the ground. During Dr. Akhtar Hamid Khan, it did wonderful work. But gradually it kind of remained a club of few people. Mm. So, and it never reached to the poorest people, the kind of people that we wanted to reach out to. And in Grameen Bank, our focus is on the poorest and on the women. And it's their money, it's their bank, they run it to change their own life.
You had, and thanks very much for the call, Aaron, you had a lot of difficulties to overcome in getting women first to apply for loans, and then, well, there are a lot of societal restrictions against women in Bangladesh.
Oh, yes, very much, because women themselves didn't think that they should take the money. They were always pleading with us when we approached them. Oh, don't give the money to me. Give it to my husband. He's the one who knows how to handle money. I don't know anything about money. And I don't know if you give money what to do with the money. So why give it to me? And it will make my life more complicated than it is right now. I don't want to create trouble in my family by taking loans and not being able to pay back. So please spare me. That was their message. But we didn't do that. We told ourselves that this is a fear of that has accumulated around them for centuries. That fear is speaking, not the real person. All we have to do, be patient and get the fear peeled off layer by layer so that finally the person feels a little bit of courage to say yes. And once she does that, and she will discover it herself. So that paid off. We were patient. It took us 6 years to bring women into our work so that it becomes 50-50 between men and women. Then we saw money going to the family through women brought so much more benefit to the family rather than money going to the family through men. So we changed our policy. We said if the result is so much better with women taking the loan, so why don't we just concentrate on the women? We did. As a result, we became soon 90%, 95% women. Today, 97% women.
We're talking with Mohamed Yunus about the bank he set up, his goal to eliminate poverty, and the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize, which he'll receive in December 10th. If you have questions for Mohamed Yunus, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org. We'll be back after the break. I'm Neil Conan. This is the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking today with Mohamed Yunus, winner of the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize and author of Banker to the Poor, Microlending and the Battle Against World Poverty. We've posted an excerpt from the book at npr.org/talk. And in a few minutes, Garrison Keillor will join us to remember the film director Robert Altman. But first, if you have experience with microcredit, we'd like to hear from you. Would this model work in this country? 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And we'll begin with David. David calling us from Newport in Oregon.
Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Yeah, the reason I was calling in, you mentioned about experience with microcredit, and I am a community banker out here on the Oregon coast, but I've sat for a number of years on the board of a SBA-certified development company, and we have been administering a microloan program. With SBA funds, we borrow and we lend it out at a higher rate, and it has created a revolving loan fund. As we get repayment of those loans, it creates funds to make additional loans.
SBA is Small Business Administration?
Small Business Administration, and our experience with that is that these are primarily individuals who are entrepreneurs. They're taking their first shot at doing their own business, and they need $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. The maximum is $25,000 to get the equipment for a lawn maintenance service, commercial sewing equipment, printing equipment to run their own business. And we have really remarkably low default rates given the risk that you're dealing with in a little startup business. But the most amazing thing is after a number of years of this is we've got folks that have done more than one, and they're growing their business to the point where they're now looking at actually purchasing a building to expand into. They've created employment. This has gone from just employing themselves to employing others, and they're taking advantage of the other SBA programs that are built to help them acquire these larger assets. But it's it's been very successful in the rural markets here in Oregon that we serve at Cascades West Financial. So it's
Well, Muhammad Yunus, the amounts are quite different from yours, which average around $200. But I wonder if you see the principles being the same.
Principles are the same. It's just the economy is different because in Bangladesh, $200 is a lot of money. Here, $5,000 is still a small money. So the principle is same. SBA program I'm familiar with. Congratulations for your success, and keep up the good work.
The one thing I'd like to add, too, by way of a little lobbying, is that the SBA has been diminishing the amount of technical assistance grants that they provide to the certified development companies to help get the loan officers out and in front of these small micro enterprise and entrepreneurs. And it would certainly be a shame if that type of assistance went completely away, because, of course, it's part of what makes it possible for us to have those folks doing that instead of just trying to make loans that generate the most revenue.
David, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's turn now to Ed, and Ed's with us from Berkeley, California.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just by yesterday, I'm 35, I'm a retired scientist, and what I've been trying to get into now is finding little pieces of things that would be nice to put together and doing it. And I'm very concerned about the gas pollution, gasoline pollution in the state, and you know our mm-hmm. our governor's been helping along.
And a question here.
And what I've come across is a woman who is disabled and lives in a house with other disabled people. They're sort of collective, and they're trying to. They have an electric car, and they want to install photovoltaics on their roof. And there's another person who's done that here, and I'm interested in trying to facilitate that to happen and to result with a kit that we could transport to other towns and whatnot to help the poor people be able to cut back on ecology instead of having the gas-burning car. So uh-huh. I was wondering if the Grameen Bank, but we were looking for grants, but maybe the Grameen Bank would be a good thing. I don't know what the profit scheme would be. I know it would be less.
Well, why don't we ask Muhammad Yunus what he would think? No. Is the Grameen Bank available in Berkeley, California?
Unfortunately, not Grameen Bank. I'm sure there are some microcredit programs around you. You can look at it. What we do in Grameen Bank on the energy side, we have created a separate company for Grameen Energy, promote solar energy. So we have right now 80,000-plus solar home system in Bangladesh provided with market terms. And that number is increasing to 100,000 solar home system very soon. And our aim is to reach 1 million solar home system by 2010. So we are trying to promote solar energy in our houses because electricity is not easily available in Bangladesh. Very few people have access to electricity in the villages. So there we bring the solar energy. Now, recently we're talking about producing biofuels so that we don't have to depend on the fossil fuel. Mm-hmm. And we have been discussing this with the people in the United States, if they would like to do business with us jointly producing biofuels in Bangladesh. So we are trying to see how to cut down the dependence on fossil fuel and non-renewable energy and move gradually onto renewable energy. We have plenty of sunshine. We have a lot of possibilities with biofuel. We do the biogas with the cow dung, produce gas for cooking, gas for lighting, and so on. So we are very active on that front.
Here's a couple of questions about international aspects of this as well. Rita in Arizona says, do you think microbanking might have the same impact in Latin America? And Nelson in Salinas, California writes, more importantly than using it in this country, can this help women in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Oh, there are microcredit programs both in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there's a large number of programs and very extensive programs in Afghanistan. There are several programs in Iraq. And, of course, it works very well in Latin American countries. I have visited many Latin American countries to watch that, to be close to those programs. These are small programs. They didn't come out big one yet, mm-hmm. Like the way it has been done in Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, 80% of the families, poor families, have been reached with microcredit, and our aim is to reach 100% of the poor families rich by 2010. This is nowhere near in Africa and Latin America. That's where we are now concentrating our attention, encouraging governments and NGOs, everybody, civil society, because anybody can do microcredit. Usually we say government shouldn't get involved with it because it's an area where citizens could show their strength in providing microcredit, and it runs as a business. So all we need to do is to kind of create those environment where microcredit can pick up their work. Within USA, of course, there are more than 700 programs already working, but one of the problems in USA that it's not cost-effective. It's not sustainable in the sense that the cost of operation is higher than the revenue you generate because the business volume is small, but the operational cost is high. So we have to find a way how to reduce the operational cost and how to increase the revenue volume of business to increase. Once we do that, it becomes an exciting business area.
Here's another email, this one from Yana in Denver. I've studied microcredit programs in India, such as SIWA, Working Women's Forum, etc. Now the government of India is pushing microcredit in a big way through self-help programs. I'm concerned that there's an assumption that credit is the only thing needed for successful micro businesses. Can you talk about the other guidance, training, marketing, etc., that Grameen provides?
Well, yes. Nobody will believe that anything alone can do all kinds of miracles. One has to be really, really one-sided to think that way. You need everything, and our appeal is do everything in your capacity to bring to the poor people, to change the position of the poor people, get them out of poverty, because poverty doesn't belong to human civilization. It has been imposed on them as an artificial way. Poverty is not created by the poor people, it's created by the system that we have around us. So amend the system so that they can come out of poverty. So we are saying that whatever you do, do it as strongly, as good, as better as you can do, but don't forget the microcredit, because this is a financial service. It makes everything else works much better. You need health, you need education, you need marketing, you need information technology. Everything that you can think of, whatever we need who are not poor, they need the same thing. So there's no question about that. Grameen has been helpful to bring technology. We brought information technology as much as our capacity gives us. We don't have all the capacity in the world. So along with the work, we have created a company called Grameen Phone to bring mobile phone in the country, to bring mobile phone system to give coverage to the rural areas. Then we give loans to the women of Grameen Bank to buy herself a cell phone, to sell the telephone service in the village and make money, and village getting the telephone service. That thing picked up very well. Today, there are more than 10 million subscribers of this company, Grameen Phone, and there are more than 300,000 telephone ladies serving the villages, and the telephone services is spread all over Bangladesh. So this is one way we brought information technology, and we are encouraging the children to stay in school. We mentioned about the 16 decision, sending children to school. Today, 100% of the children are in school. We focus on the children and their education, and we give student loans to make sure they can go into higher education, become doctors, engineers, professional people, IT people, and so on. And there are more than 12,000 children now at business school, in the medical schools, in engineering schools, and we provide all the expenses needed to be done, and they are coming out. So we have a new generation of young people coming out of totally illiterate families. So we tried, and we have health insurance programs so that we can bring health services to the poor people. So whatever we could do, we are doing. That lot of more things can be done.
Mohammed Yunus, again, congratulations. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Mohammed Yunus is author of Banker to the Poor, Microlending and the Battle Against World Poverty. There's an excerpt you can read at npr.org/talk. He's also the winner, along with his Grameen Bank, of this year's Nobel Peace Prize.